Good morning. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. What do you want for Christmas?
Candy.
Candy. No candy. Sorry, Joe B. It'd have to be my grandson, what do you want for Christmas? You don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer out loud. I know a few years ago, if I asked Connie, my wife, that, she'd have said diamonds. She did inform me this year, don't buy me any more jewelry. I have to start giving it away. You know, she has enough. But, Connie liked diamonds and gold. Oh, she still does. If you didn't hear her in the back, she said, I still do. But what if she wants diamonds, but I think what she really wants and needs is a mop and a bucket? Not a good gift? No. I mean, you guys have bought your wife a vacuum cleaner. You know what I mean. Now, but if Connie really wants diamonds, and I think, oh, no, I know what she really wants, a mop and a bucket, that's good. Now, here's the question. Now, what does God want of us? What does God want of us? The answer to that is very, very important. The answer is going to be determined by our approach. I'm getting a little feedback, right? Anybody back there? Chris? No. Dan's back there someplace. Oh, Chris is there. I think it's the other mics, not the lapel mic. So patience, just a second. You all hear it? I think it's just me. Yeah, okay. Might be the monitors. I don't know. There you go. Sounds good. Thanks, Chris. The answer to that question is very important. It's going to be determined, though, by our approach. Are we going to be God-centered in answering what does God want? Are we going to be God-centered, or are we going to be man-centered? If Connie wants diamonds, but I think she wants a mop and a bucket, it becomes me-centered, not her-centered. Metaphorically, we give to God diamonds, or will you give him a mop and a bucket? In the past, I've done a sermon series on what does God want. Some of you may remember. God wants repentance, obedience. God wants obedience. Faith, God wants faith. Today, we're going to focus on worship. God wants worship. God wants worship. One more time. God wants worship. It's one of our core values as a church. If you read our, quote, mission statement and core values, all those nice things that we write down, we're to be a worshiping church. biblically, as we get into this subject, there's so many foundational passages, and let me just throw a couple out. We're going to look at Romans, but a couple other ones. Matthew 2, this Christmas season, we focus on the Magi, the wise men. They come to worship Jesus. And if you haven't read that, you can read it again this Christmas time. They give gifts to Jesus, but they really come to worship him. John 4, you know, that tremendous passage of the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus encounters her, and they begin talking about worship. She does what so many people do, and she slips into worship style and worship location. And Jesus has to correct that. And he says, no, because she's going off, well, you Jews worship here and we worship here and you have that style and we have this style. And Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. If you're going to worship God, you got to worship God in spirit and in truth. She's debating superficial issues, and sad to say that for many years, the evangelical church slipped into that. We're splitting, denominations were splitting over styles and locations. Where do you worship? Well, we got to have stained glass windows and a steeple. And there were churches meeting in storefronts and all kinds of different places. And churches were splitting. And then, of course, I mean, congas. Can you imagine that in a evangelical church back about 50, 75 years ago? Not really. You know, electric guitars and drums and bass. And I remember years ago here at ERC, and I'm at that stage, as most of you know, I say, I've been here so long that I remember. Sorry I have to say that, but it's true. That I had a couple I met with that really were upset over our worship. And we were making that big transition with drums and guitars, and we had gotten rid of the broken organ that was a house organ. Some of you may remember that sat right there, and it was gone. And I remember a couple, summertime, they walked in and they were complaining to me about the music, and they said, it sounds like we're going to a rock concert. And I go, oh, that's pretty good to me, you know. I just happen to like classic rock, but that's one of my things you have to deal with, you know. So we can't slip into the styles and location. Honestly, what if this building burned down? Some of you might pray that it does and we'll get all the insurance money. I don't, you know. I prayed for a building to be struck by lightning in Maryland once. I did. The church building we were meeting in. Because nobody owned it. And the only way that we, the CNMA church that I was a pastor of, was going to get it is if it burned down. And I prayed, Lord, strike this place with lightning. You say, that's a terrible thing to pray. Well, you don't know the whole story, but we found out later that the building was struck by lightning, but it didn't burn down. The lightning went through one of the water pipes on the ground and broke the water pipe. The plumber told us it was struck by lightning. So God answered my prayer, but not quite the way I wanted it, you know. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Going to teach us about worshiping God from a God-centered, not a man-centered. Three proofs of God-pleasing worship. Now, I share this not as a nice three-point sermon, but 3 points because they're here in this passage, and it's something that you can get a handle on and you can hold on to, and it'll help with memory and so forth. Romans 12, 1 and 2 contains three proofs of God-pleasing worship. This is not going to deal with cultural styles or personal preferences or building styles and locations and stuff like that. We're going to get to the heart of worship, our personal lives, and our response to God. Today it's not going to be fluff stuff, not cotton candy. It's going to be lifeblood stuff, foundational stuff. So three proofs. Here's the first one that we find here. Three proofs of diamonds versus mop and bucket. Mop and bucket, what we think God wants. Diamonds is what God really wants. True spiritual and God-pleasing worship is our personal response to God's mercy. Wrestle with that a moment. True spiritual and God-pleasing worship is our personal response to God's mercy. 12:2. Romans 12:2. Listen to these words. In view of God's mercy. And then the next phrase goes into presenting yourself, you know, in worship. In view of God's mercy. So why worship God? Yes, God is sovereign. He's Lord. He's creator of everything. And he's worthy of it. Yes, Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. All those wonderful doctrines and things that we believe biblically. Yes, the Holy Spirit is all powerful and he's present. However, Romans 12 gives us a very personal, experiential reason for worshiping God. His mercy. His mercy. And that is extremely personal. Because of my personal sin, and my personal rebellion against God, my fist in God's face, I'll do my life the way I want it. But because of his mercy, my personal sin and my personal rebellion, we deserve eternal damnation in hell, separated from God. We deserve that. And if you don't think you deserve that, God's going to deal with your pride. I'm telling you, he's going to break you. He's going to deal with your pride. But we come into the very holiness of God, and we begin to realize and we begin to experience his grace, his mercy, something we don't deserve. We experience that. There is going to be a response. It's like, wow. I mean, God, I worship you. Your mercy to me. Forget about you for a moment, but to me. And I have to respond. You see, pride says no. No. But God's holiness and God's justice says yes. There is eternal damnation. But I show you mercy, God says. And God's love is a foundational matter here. See, worship becomes a response to that mercy. God's mercy is demonstrated to us and offered to us because of his grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. It has nothing to do with works. And I know as an evangelical Bible-believing church, we believe that, we know that. But sometimes we slip into a works performance-oriented. It's always only because of his mercy. God-pleasing worship becomes our personal response to his action of saving us from sin and eternal damnation. We respond to that. It has nothing to do with the style of music, whether we dance, whether we sit quietly, whether we have Gregorian chants. Doesn't matter where we are, cathedral, hut, out by the beach, in the mountains. It's our response to, wow, his mercy to me. It's not about entertainment. It's not about blue light specials. It's not about goosebump experiences. It's about how do I respond? His mercy. That is a one-on-one response to the Lord for the most awesome gift that we could ever have, the gift of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Personal worship, the foundational issue, take away all the fluff, take away all the peripheral stuff, all the veneer stuff, all the entertainment stuff, all the guitars and drums and the organs and you name it, take it all away, and it comes down to me and my response to God and his mercy that he has showed to me. How are you responding to his mercy? Oh, it can be a corporate thing. That's why we assemble, we meet together as the body of Christ, the church. We meet on Sunday mornings to worship. I'll have to confess to you, the most exciting part of Sunday mornings for me is our worship. Now, I love to preach. I hope nobody thinks that I don't like to. But you know, preaching is the easy part of being a pastor. Some people say, I can never get up in front of people and speak. Well, I couldn't either a long time ago because I was that shy kid from Western Pennsylvania. But preaching is the easy part. But the most exciting time for me on Sundays is we come together and worship, and God has blessed the church with some fantastic music. But that's just an expression. The reason I like worship at ERC is it's our response to God. How are you responding to his mercy? Worship is not simply about singing songs, even though that can be a manifestation of it. So I want you just for a moment right now. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front and talk, okay? But just for a moment, I want you to reflect on God's mercy to you. Just reflect on that a moment. God's mercy to you. I don't know how you respond to that. I go, wow, Lord, me. You touched my life. You touched me. This person. Am I humbled? Am I thankful? Jesus, I worship you. And it may come out in praise, it may come out in a dance, it may come out in a shout, it may come out just being quiet. But there will be a response. There will be a response. See, if you have no response to God's mercy, maybe you've never experienced it. Because when you experience that mercy, your life will never be the same again. Never. Second proof. True spiritual and God-pleasing worship is the willful surrender of our bodies as living sacrifices. Whoa. Now we're going to really get heavy, okay? True spiritual and God-pleasing worship is the willful surrender of our bodies as living sacrifices. Our bodies. And if you're not sure what I'm saying is biblical, look at verse 2. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. God-pleasing worship, yes, begins with our personal response to his mercy, but it moves to the surrender of our bodies to him for his purposes. No surrender is a very serious hindrance to true worship. Surrender our bodies. And I'm going to hammer bodies today. So we all have bodies. Anybody here that doesn't have a body? And we all have different shape bodies and styles and likes and issues. And as we talk about in Overcomers, hurts, habits, and hang-ups, you know. And some of you have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that you're dealing with. And some of it is because you've never experienced true worship by surrendering your body. Romans 12:2 calls us to surrender our bodies to him as living sacrifices. Our bodies include, yes, our intellect, our will, our emotions, our feelings, our minds, our thoughts, yes, our physical bodies, smell, all of our senses, our taste, our touch, our hearing, our feeling, our ears, our hands, our feet, etc. See, we're getting to the heart of worship, God-centered worship. Not what we think he wants, but what he really wants. Not the mop and the bucket, but he wants the diamonds, and these are the diamonds. He wants our total being. I don't know if that's radical for you, but that's just basic Christianity. Total being. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I no longer live. I am crucified with Christ. Colossians 3:3, he adds, I have died. I have died to self. 1 Corinthians 6:9, he declares that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Certainly in that context, it's limited to sexual improprieties, sexual sins. The real issue is our bodies, for as a total being, they are not ours. Our bodies are not ours. See, we sing about the blood of Jesus and redemption, and we're going to have communion in a few moments. Our bodies have been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, that's all part of genuine, diamond, God-centered worship, means that we have died to what we want, and now we live for His purposes. That's a foundational issue for genuine spiritual worship that is pleasing to Him. In my personal devotional time at home, I read through the Bible, you know, and I just, when I'm done with Revelations, I go back to Genesis and I go back. Right now, in this particular stage of my life, I'm reading Leviticus. And I'm in that section where all the sacrifices are being brought and put on the altar, you know, various ones. And I have to admit, part of me is going, God, I just don't quite get this, you know. He put this sacrifice here, and the priest takes the blood, and he puts it on his thumb, and he puts it on his big toe, and puts it on the earlobe of his right ear. And I'm going, but God knows what He's doing, right? I may not get it all, but God knows what He's doing. But what the Holy Spirit is saying to me is directly related to worship. God wants us to do it His way. Amen. His way. We may not fully get it, but when He says, I want your body, He wants our body. He just doesn't want us to get us to heaven. He wants your body right now. True worship foundation was our bodies presented to Him as living sacrifices. No, not dead animal sacrifices on an altar to be consumed, literally by fire, but living, consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And practically, that means then that if I'm worshiping Him with diamonds and not a mop and a bucket kind of approach, my eyes, you know where this is going, right? My eyes are for His purposes. Okay, guys? You want to worship God? Give Him your eyes. You substance abusers, give Him your bodies. Wow. To not offer Him our bodies and total being is a proof of no genuine worship. You may disagree with me. Take me out to lunch, we'll talk about it, okay? See, I don't care if we cry gallons of tears and we have wild goosebump blue light experiences. If we don't give it all to Him, oh yes, we're going to heaven, we're saved by grace through faith, and praise God for that. But He wants more than just getting us to heaven. He wants us to worship Him. And it begins as a foundation issue. Here's my body. Living sacrifices, not dead animal sacrifices. Living sacrifices. I've given you my body, my head, my heart, my will, my emotions, my lips, my tongue, my feet, my legs, my heart, every part of me, I gave it to you. And what that means is, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do or live the way you want me to live. What an awesome way to live. So the inevitable question, and we're talking about worship, is have you surrendered your body, total being, for holiness to His will, mind, heart, soul? Proof three, true spiritual and God-pleasing worship is a life of non-conformity to this world, but one of Christ-centered transformation. True spiritual and God-pleasing worship is a life of non-conformity to this world, but one of Christ-centered transformation. And those words come straight here from the Apostle Paul, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Spiritual and God-pleasing worship, which includes how we live and our relationship to this world. You cannot separate the two. Our relationship to God and our relationship to this world. And that word world means this present evil age, the cosmos, and anything in it that is anti-God and anti-Jesus Christ. This has nothing to do with our style of clothing. You know, whether or not we wear black jeans on Sunday, that doesn't offend any of you, I know that. Has nothing to do with our style of clothing, whether or not women have to wear denim skirts down to their ankles, or the men wear white shirts down to their wrist and button to their top of their neck, you know. Has nothing to do with that. It's not about whether we go to movies. It's not about whether we like sports or whether we like a certain style of music or so forth. This is all about our total mindset, our worldview, our philosophy of life, including our values and our ethics and our total lifestyle. I have to share something that's been on my chest for a couple days. And if you watch the news, you know what's going on with all these, quote, sexual harassment cases. You can't help it, right? It's just 24/7, boom, boom, boom. You know what tears me up? It's just mind-boggling. They want to establish an ethics committee to deal with it. And I'm going, ethics committee? They have no foundation for ethics. You know? They want to, right away, let's have an investigation and set up an ethics panel. Now, that's another subject, right? So let's come back to, we're not to be conformed to the pattern of this world as part of an evidence of a proof of worship. A total way of life. Ethics and morals that are built on a Christ-centered, God-centered, Bible-based approach to life. Are we, in our total way of life, becoming more anti-Christ-centered? I'll let that settle for a moment. Are we becoming more anti-Christ-centered, or are we committed to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and His sanctifying work of changing us and transforming us to be more like Jesus Christ in our attitudes and our actions and our values? See, spiritual worship is about how we think and how we live. If we live by the world's values and by the world's priorities and the world's philosophy of life, and when I say world, I'm talking about this present evil age that's anti-God and anti-Jesus, then it's not worship. You cannot separate worship from how we live, our whole way of life. Spiritual worship says, Lord, change me. Transform me. Do whatever it takes to keep me from having a worldly, man-centered view and lifestyle. I want to be God-centered and I want to be Christ-like. Can you express that to God? And you say, Jesus, here I am. Change me. Do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Change me. Let there be a transformation beginning in my mind and my heart, my desires, my will, my whole way of life. Try it. If you've never done that, try it. Unless you're hung up on your own little world and you're comfy and cozy with living a man-centered, self-centered lifestyle, but what that is proof of, if there is no real worship. But come to Jesus. Give Him your mind. Give Him your values. Give Him your whole philosophy of life and your whole worldview. It's an exciting way to live. Let me summarize, then we're going to have communion. Three proofs of real God-centered, God-pleasing worship. My personal response to his mercy, the willful surrender of my body and my total being as a living sacrifice, and my commitment to God's transforming work to not be conformed to the mindset of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind to live a Christ-like life. We're going to have communion, but before we do, let's take a moment to pray. Let's just talk to God. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will take these words and bring about the transformation that you want in our lives for your glory. Speak to each of us individually that we would be true worshipers. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the men that will be serving and assisting with communion to get prepared. Some instruction for you that might be visiting. Our communion table is an open table. You do not have to be a member of Edinburgh Road Chapel. You do not have to be a member of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, our parent denomination. But you do need to be a member of God's family. And that comes by faith and repentance and trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. We need to heed Paul's exhortation that if there's unconfessed sin, we need to deal with that. If you have a bitterness towards a brother or sister in Christ, you need to go to that person. Children are welcome to have communion as long as they understand that this is not tea and cookies. These elements, the cup and the matzah, represent the blood and body of Jesus Christ. We do not believe that they are the real body or real blood, but that they represent his blood and represent his body. The men will serve you. I'm going to ask that you hold your portion. When everybody's been served, then we will eat together and then drink together as a testimony of our oneness. Men, would you come? Last month, if you were here for communion, to remember that the body, the tomb was empty. Those of you that weren't here, when I picked the lid off of the matzah tray, there was no matzah. But that was okay. The body was out of the tomb. Well, the body's back today. 44 years as a pastor is the first time that ever happened. But I'll put that as a chapter in one of my books, John. Communion is a very special time. It's certainly sacred, solemn, but it's family time. You know, we just had Thanksgiving down in Maryland with our two daughters and their families, and we didn't sit around and mope, you know. We had a good time. So as after the men serve, you're welcome to share. No sermons, okay, we had the sermon already, but maybe a word, just a couple words. God has healed you, answered prayer, share that, and then we'll pray. Let's take a moment and give thanks. Jim, would you give thanks for the bread?
Father, we are so thankful that you offered up your own son, your only son, you know, for our opportunity to accept your forgiveness and our salvation, and just ask your blessing on the bread as a representation of that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The men will serve you. And again, if you want to remain quiet and silent, that's fine. Just talk to the Lord. But if God has answered prayer, he's healed you, just take a moment, share a couple words.
I went over yesterday. I've been doing an evening round. I went over yesterday in the morning, and got the truck back up to the docks. And the actually know what to do. And says, we can look here. I said, I got the mail on that South Jersey pass next week. So I said, oh, okay. The four-way driver says, oh, I guess I'll give you a chance to eat something to eat. I was just going to go home and watch college football. So I just thought about it. Yeah, it's cool. So I go to the diner. I sit down. I said, hey, I look over. Me and my ex-wife used to do a youth group, help in the youth group, like Assembly of God, 35 years ago. I'm 62 now, he's 52. He was like 15, 16, I was 26. Tim Kappas. So we started catching up. So I started telling him, you pray about this, please. I told him I would. What's been going on? Obviously, there's a lot to share in 30-some years. He's a contractor by trade. So he says, listen, I'm down in Salem, town of Wreck. Really a wreck. A lot of homeless. The mayor is concerned. He wants to do something. I want to rebuild the people to come in. Nobody wants to come in like this. So Tim started planning and thinking on it. And Tim said what he's going to do, he started a ministry, which is really cool. He's got the dove with the olive branch in his mouth. And there's a person, Amos, that says, I'll restore my cities. And the people will come back and worship the Lord. So he's into restoring this town. So he's got a barber. He's going to donate his time. Cut people's hair. He's going to do some socks. Try to get some places restored the best he can. Probably going to have to invest in some help. But you can pray about that. That's a big undertaking. He's 52 years old now. God put it on his heart. But it was so cool. I just said, hey, I'm going to go to the 10th. I knew it was 16th. And that was pretty cool. And to see what God's doing in his life was even cooler. So if you can pray for him, he's a really neat guy. He does a lot of work around here. He's like a home improvement of a contractor kind of guy. But he loved God. He puts all that first. So.
Thanks, Ty. That's in Salem.
Salem County.
Yes.
Doug, I go to the hospital with my dog, and I ran across a 9-year-old boy, and he has a seizure disorder. He can't stop shaking, and really sad. He can hardly talk, and his grandma's taking care of him. And please can pray for that poor little boy.
Do you know his first name?
Michael.
Michael. Okay, guys, keep serving. We're going to just pray, okay, for Michael. Lord, Cliff had a divine appointment, and we're going to pray for the boy. You know what's going on in his life with his family, his spiritual base, his understanding of you, Jesus. But visit him today by your Spirit. Be his healer. But visit the family. Do your spiritual work in their lives, I pray, Jesus. Amen. I called my mother for Thanksgiving. Now we're waiting for the guys, so this is one of those funny. My mother's going to be 94, lives outside of Pittsburgh, PA. And I called her on the phone, and when she answers the phone, I have to say real loud. She'll say hello, and I'll say, hello, this is Doug, real loud, because her hearing's going. And we talked for about 4 minutes, and she said, I wanted to send you a Thanksgiving card, but I didn't know where to send it. I need your address because you've moved so much in the last few years. I just had to chuckle. I didn't say a word to her mom. Okay, yep. Well, you all know I've been here 25 years. So she sends me a Thanksgiving card every year. But she thought we moved a lot of times. So I said, thank you. A godly woman loves Jesus. Just a simple piece of matzo cracker represents the broken body of Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. His life gives us hope. He is the bread of life. He's the manna that's come down from heaven. Eating the bread, certainly there's nothing nutritional in the matzo cracker, but it says, my hope is in you, Jesus. You died for me. My future is all in your hands. Let's eat together. He took the cup and said that this was a cup his blood was shed for us. Probably the third cup of that Last Supper Passover meal, that's a cup of redemption, that we have been bought with the price of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Mike, would you give thanks for the shed blood of Jesus?
Heavenly Father, 2,000 years we've been doing this. Continue to do this. Gratitude, Lord, for everything that you've given.
I
pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Jane? I'd like to just share again about our Christmas party dinner next week, that everyone's invited, those that have been visiting with us, new, please know you can come. If you could sign up in the foyer, it would be great if we had a number so to make sure everybody has seats in here. If you'd like to bring some dessert, you're welcome to. The church will supply dessert, but I know that we have some great cooks and bakers here, so you know, feel free to bring some. And in the very back of the room, there's a stack of trays. So if you'd like to get a tray, we will have, going down the middle of the floor here, we'll have it set up with the racks. Yeah, Jane, thank you, Sharon. And also, on that night, if you'd like to bring your Toys for Tots, that would be a great time, too, if you'd like to bring Toys for Tots.
Yeah, there are two boxes in the back. One is for a Living Hope Alliance Church, which was our daughter church in Trenton. And then the other one is, Mary and Jim?
DuPont.
Was for DuPont Hospital.
In Delaware.
Yeah, in Delaware. When are we setting up, Jane?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Wednesday night. Thank you, Pastor. Wednesday night we'll be setting up the table. So anyone that has time would like to come and help us, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll convert this auditorium into our restaurant.
And
adults are to bring a gift under
$5? Yes, adults, if you can bring a gift of $5 or under, we can just do a little bit of exchange. It's a little bit fun. And we'll have some extras, so if you don't sweat it, if you don't remember it, we'll have something for you.
I already bought mine. Connie says everybody's going to want it.
If it's for male or female, you can precisely just write an M or an F on it.
M or an F. But a woman will want mine also.
Oh, then it's
Connie's going, no, no. That's Saturday. The dinner is at 5. If you're able to set up Wednesday night, be here by 6:30, 7. Yeah, 6:30. Pat? And it's called Creative?
It's called Created Equal.
Created Equal.
It came into my mind, I get on all kinds of mailing lists. But I thought, wow, that's a different approach.
Okay, see Pat if you want some more info. Andrea, did you have your hand up?
I did. I have something that I wanted to share. I don't want to lessen it by sharing it, but I feel like it was such a wonderful, blessed experience that I want to share it with you all. I was on a trail a couple of weeks ago walking with my pup in the woods. And you know how they have like these memory plaques on the benches when you go to any parks? Well, one of the plaques that I read, it said, "Into the woods I go to lose my mind and find my soul." And My papa and I were walking. We walked on his path many times. We climbed up the observatory tower. I could see out 200 yards all over. That's a bird, watch out. Now, let me catch my breath because I don't want to lose my place. We climbed up. There was hardly anybody that we could see. We saw one couple come up with two dogs. So I said, let me wait for them to come by so we could go down and walk past them. Well, we did. I no sooner got down after they were past me, and out from around the tree comes this elderly gentleman. Real beautiful baby blue shirt on. I'm not going to describe him because I look at it as I saw an angel that day. Baby blue, big blue eyes, snow white hair, and he's walking with a cane. And he comes out of nowhere within 30 yards. And he comes right up to me and my pup. And she like looks at him. She's a very calm dog and wants to, you know, always wants to greet people. But she went right over to him and he pulled out something from his pocket. He pulled out like an old, like a liver snap, an outdoor liver snap. And he put his hand down and she looked up at me and looked back down. And most of the time she'd be on that tree like in a heartbeat. She looked up and I said, go ahead. And she took it. And he says to me, what's a lovely day we're having, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. It's just a beautiful day. And he says, I have lots of friends. And that's what he said to me. And we exchanged niceties for another second, and he walked past. Now, I walked about another 30 yards, and then I have time to think about that for a second, because you had to get that sense inside you. And I turned around to see the old fella, and I could see probably about another football field. He was gone. There was nobody there. There's no way that old man with that cane walked faster than he might have and walked 100 yards past. And I just felt so blessed that day. I mean, so at peace. And he knew what I needed. God knew what I needed by seeing him. He sent me that angel that day. Because holiday times aren't always nice for everybody. We deal with a lot of personal problems that we all have. But he just knew it because when I was feeling the loss of family, that saying in my mind that you have a lot of friends. And that got me through that night. And every day since then. And I just wanted to share that with you all. For any of you that are feeling down or like alone or by yourself, don't feel that way. Because he is there. He loves us all.
Amen. Thanks, Andrea. Thanks. Cell groups tonight, right? Did Rick announce those? Brown, is it the Browns?
Yes.
Browns and Jeannie Racines. Cell groups, small groups, meet in home, 6 o'clock tonight. Simple cup of grape juice. Churches have been doing this for over 2,000 years. Various venues, some use wine, some use other berry juices. The fruit of the vine represents the vine, Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. We dare never forget that. Drinking the cup doesn't take away our sins. Drinking a cup of juice doesn't do that. But in our faith and what this cup represents, it represents the shed blood of Jesus. And by drinking it, we're saying, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And he's provided that through Jesus on the cross. Let's drink together. The men will collect your empty cups. Let's stand together. We're going to be dismissed to leave. There is a day coming where there'll be no more communions like this. That'll be a wonderful day when we're in Sky Kingdom. And as I always share, I'll be on the front row. just in case you don't know, there are no back rows in heaven. So if you think you're going to sneak in and sit in the back row, nope, no back rows. Only front row, because you don't want to miss being close to Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your presence. We bless your name. We bless your holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.